We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We begin with a cutting from the Evening Standard, read by Brian Perkins.
A brothel owner in Sydney is protesting about plans to build a church on her doorstep because it could attract the wrong type of clientele.
Thanks to Margaret Turner of Richmond. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome, first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Linda Smith. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Edwina Curry. Andy, whose crisis management turned out to be awful?
Do you know, I suddenly feel very old, because I feel that for the past 15 years I've been doing jokes about mad cow disease, and now the joke has finally come to, hopefully, its last chapter. Personally, I still blame the cows for a lack of discernment in what they eat. But what struck me, reading the abysmal story of incompetence, was just, again, people using this phrase, with hindsight. With hindsight, it was a bad idea to feed bits of chopped up cows and sheep to cows. And with hindsight, it was a bad idea not to bother inspecting the farms. And I think there should be a nationwide ban on this now. Or anyone who uses the phrase with hindsight should be taken out and shot in the main square.
Because basically, with hindsight, a bit of foresight wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got the same thing with the head of Railcrack, you know, who is now saying that he will not rest. He will not rest. He says, with hindsight, mistakes have been made on the railway. He will not rest till it's safe to travel on the trains. Well, that was his job beforehand.
Also, Andy, if he's saying he will not rest till it's safe to travel on the trains, I hope he's a vampire, because you'd have to be undead to stay awake that long, wouldn't you? Dear me.
I think the other phrase that should be banned in the light of the inquiry is the phrase, according to independent research. Because all successive ministers trotted out the same formula, which was that according to independent research, there was no evidence that beef was unsafe to eat. What they didn't say as well was that there was no evidence that it was safe to eat. I don't think there's any such thing as independent research, because it depends what answers you want to hear back from them and who's paying them.
There'll be another chance to catch this edition of You and Yours tomorrow. 2 points to Andy. Linda, who's been given cause to rail against yet more delays?
Yes, well, of course, as Andy
said. The audience sighed then.
Yes, we are.
You mentioned the word rail.
As Andy says, rail crack, this is, they're sort of digging up all the rails. But again, you see, who could possibly have known that privatising the rail system, selling it off to every tuppenny halfpenny barrow boy with a few quid in their pocket, with their murderous greed and incompetence, who could have believed that would come back to haunt us, really? It seemed such a brilliant idea at the time.
No one could have foreseen this, really.
Nobody's thinking, even now. I mean, they close large chunks of the track this week, which forces people onto the roads. Nobody's done the calculation of whether the number of people who will die on the roads as a result of having to drive, of being forced to drive because there aren't any trains, whether that will actually be anything like the number of people who might be saved by doing the track.
Didn't you vote for rail privatisation?
I did, and I have to say, I don't think it matters who owns the darn things. What matters is whether somebody is properly setting some standards for safety and whether the rest of us are prepared to pay for our rail tickets and not whinge about it.
I spent 25 years turning down any questions.
I'd like to sound a more optimistic note, because clearly what's happened is that the rail companies have got their act together and they've just asked for a couple of weeks, haven't they? A couple of weeks leeway while they put right 15 years of neglect and incompetence. But going back to what Edwina was saying, the one thing that strikes me, I think people accept that rail is safe than road, but we kind of expect it to be, because after all, when you're on the rails, you're not being exposed to the incompetence of random strangers, are you? When you're going along in a train, you know that a white train isn't going to suddenly cut in. So when rail chiefs say, well, it is very safe statistically compared to cars, I think, you know, we know that a train isn't going to suddenly mysteriously decide to reverse towards us, or do we? I don't think those comparable statistics are helpful.
It's the announcement by Railtrack that emergency works on the rail network will cause months of misery for passengers, which makes a nice change from all the months of misery caused by leaves on the line, overcrowding, shortage of drivers, cancellations, shortage of rolling stock, the wrong kind of snow, cramped seating, buffet food, defective heaters, yobs in the next seat, and the constant ringing of mobile phones. Railtrack confirmed it would be inspecting hundreds of thousands of miles of rail up and down the country using the very latest high-tech detection equipment, or Dave, as he's known. Ed Wiener, welcome to the News Quiz. Where was one man dragged to his chair while father quit his seat?
This was on Monday when the largest gentleman, who looks like one of the kind of donuts that's left over from yesterday's bakery, you know, sort of nice, but you think, no, maybe there should be something fresher than that, was elected to the chair of the House of Commons. He is the new speaker. I think his name is Michael Martin. And the chair was then vacated by Sir Edward Heath, who's been around for half a century, and is now deciding at the age of 84 that it's about time he retired.
Correct.
What I used to love with Edward Heath was those brilliant impressions he used to do of Mike Yarwood.
But of course, what was happening was Blair Babes actually deciding not to do what Mr. Blair told them to do, and deciding not to vote for an old Etonian conservative baronet.
But didn't they all vote that way because they had a bet on it, Ladbrokes? It has now emerged, hasn't it, that several, I mean, this is true.
Well, I thought it was appalling, decided not to wear a wig. If they'd offered me the job, I'd have taken it on those grounds.
And he was told that he should wear a wig because a wig makes you more anonymous. Now, what's the first thing you do? Someone wearing a wig, you stare at them. Yeah, no, but they all, a lot of the backbenchers, it now transpires, a lot of the Scottish backbenchers had quite big money riding on Mick Martin. And I got suspicious because during the seventh or eighth vote, I distinctly heard someone shouting, "Go on, my son." So there was obviously something going on.
I have a lot of money on the outcome of the News Quiz. It doesn't go out till tomorrow. I get down to Ladbrokes most mornings on a Friday. And if I can get on and have a question, I can probably shorten the odds.
Michael Martin was elected Speaker. The father of the House, Sir Edward Heath, announced his retirement. So, 2 points there to Edwina. Alan, listen to this. Alan, whose diary abseiled its way through bookshop windows and onto the shelves everywhere this week?
Well, I suppose Geoffrey Robinson.
No.
Well, then it's Alan Clark's second.
No.
Bang it. Whose diary? Abseiled?
Well, yes.
Bob said Andy McNab didn't do it.
No.
Well, anyone else tell me.
Andy?
If you mean it's not the SAS man.
No.
It's not Samuel Pepys.
No.
Let's go.
Well, I want a clue, sir.
It was in the papers, presumably.
It was. It was in the Times.
The National
actually.
Papers.
It was in your paper.
In my paper.
Great length. Enormous length.
Oh, hold on.
Well, most of it was about
Paddy Pansford.
Most of
yes!
It was about Paddy. Oh.
Correct.
Going to you the Radiant Linda. Yes, I mean, do you want me to do it?
It's your paper.
Yes, yes. They had these meetings, he and Blair, saying there would be a Lib-Lad pact. And they also had a conversation with Prince Charles, in which Charles said that he'd be quite happy for a Catholic to be King. Ashdown believed him. He believed a Liberal Democrat would be Prime Minister. I mean, these two madmen sat down and worked out the future of the Constitution between them. I didn't get the abseil thing. He didn't...
He was in the SBS.
He was in rubber boats. He was in rubber goods, Paddy Ashdown. Yeah. Quite frequently, if his wife is to be inquired of.
Oh, they're sweet, the Lib Dems, though. I like them. I love the way they think, oh, we've won Truro. Can the rest be far away?
Throughout 1997, Blair and Ashdown had numerous discussions about something huge which would keep the Tories out of power for 100 years. And Widdicombe. So, I shall give 1 point there to Linda for getting the answer and 1 point to Alan for telling us what it was. We start round two with the science scene at the university campus in Southampton.
The University of Southampton School of Nursing and Midwifery, deliveries at the rear of the building.
Thanks to Mary Sutton of Southampton for that. Andy, why might a combination of green and red be bad news for car owners?
Green and red. It sounds so easy.
Green. Stress on green.
Just green and red, mate.
Is it, is it to do
That's
with...
That's not Blair's speech, is
yes.
it?
Yes, Alan got it. Do you know the answer?
He wore a green suit for his green print initiative. I noticed that. I thought, what a wonderful touch that was. I can just see Campbell dressing him in the morning. A green shiny suit. He looked like Joe Loss on a bad day. yes, it's going to be fine. By next Tuesday, we're going to have all our rural bus routes back. And there will not be an unsafe fox in the country. And all our sub-post offices will be back. And there will be no Greenfield site building. It was just a general manifesto that he'd forgotten about for 3 years, and suddenly he come along and said, tomorrow we shall do all this.
Yeah. What was
the... quite vague, though, wasn't he, about all this would happen?
Vague? Tony Blair, don't be silly.
There was a general sort of, hello clouds, hello sky, isn't the body shop lovely? tone to it, really, wasn't there?
Didn't he say that he realised the environment was important because Ewan, when he was 10, told him that it was important?
Of course, it was Ewan, I believe, who told him to build the dome, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think we should be doing satirical material about Ewan and actually point the finger where it belongs. He's obviously the sinister presence behind this government. Mandelson's just a lightning conductor. It's the evil Ewan.
He also arranged to have an owl box given to him in the week of the environment. He had an owl box installed at Chequers.
An owl box?
An owl box linked to a television so that Tony and Cherie and the family can watch owls at it. Owl Channel. I don't know why there isn't a people's... These are people's owls. I want an owl channel all my own. But he's got his own... And he has people over to watch owls doing it.
No. Can you imagine
why
the owls
vole
looking
box?
Out?
That'd be something.
And seeing the Blairs. You know, the owls thinking, blimey, I thought I had starry eyes.
So there's a privacy question for the owl, sure. It's like being in Big Brother for them, isn't it?
We'd probably get nailed under the Owl Rights Act, whatever we just passed. The human rights legislation must protect owls from having Prime Ministers watch in doing it.
You know what I'm dreading? The first owl chick that dies, Blair will be on the telly blubbing. All those solemn pauses. It was the people's owl.
One point to Linda for getting it, and 2 points to Alan for answering it. Edwina, listen to this.
For I'm the type of boy who is always on the road. Wherever I lay my head, that's my home.
Wherever I Lay My Hat by Paul Young. Edwina, which lord this week certainly towed the party line?
I haven't the foggiest idea. You mean their lordships actually were doing something this week?
Yes.
Wasn't Lord Home?
It was.
That
remember
one.
Him? He was doing everything this week.
Yes, yes.
Had a spanking good time.
My understanding was he wasn't doing it... He wasn't doing it at parties. He was doing it on strange phone lines. He was doing it with several girlfriends, but not at once. He's in his 60s. I mean, there's life in all of us, really. Alan, you don't have to worry about it as you get a little bit older. We just have to keep it out of the newspapers, that's all.
You make it sound like a haddock. What do you mean, keep it out of the newspapers?
I mean, if it does look like a haddock, Alan, I apologise.
Don't even go there, Edwin.
He's a Liberal Democrat peer in his mid-60s who was in charge of all our morals about broadcasting and had been pontificating about how naughty it was that there was sex and violence on TV and radio and so on. And then it was discovered that he had sex and violence on... Well, never. He could manage it, I suppose, in all sorts of circumstances.
Who's looking after our standards now? I mean, can we get away with anything tonight?
Can we say anything? can I see your haddock?
Oh...
Lord Home was forced to resign as chairman of the Broadcasting Standards Commission after the News of the World revealed he'd had not one but two mistresses. He and one mistress, Tracy Kelly, were said to have enjoyed kinky sex marathons and erotic spanking sessions and all the other Channel 5 programmes he had to view as part of his job. Linda, who's holding a rave to the grave?
Oh, this is the dome. Again, in our continuing series on hindsight. The dome is just going to close with no sort of dew or anything, not even a bottle of dry sherry or nothing, really. And they're going to have a rave outside with friends of Peter Mandelson outside the dome. Apparently it's going to be drug-free, which is probably a good idea, because I don't think there's a drug available to humanity that could make that party seem fun, really, is it? Could you picture it? New Year's Eve, people saying, oh, we've got to go, we've been invited. Oh, but it's New Year's Eve, I don't want to go there. Oh, we'll just stay for half an hour. We don't have to go in, we won't take our coats off. It's all outside.
What is this about friends of Peter Mandelson outside the dome? I suppose because he couldn't get the friends of Peter Mandelson into the dome. I mean, he puts it about a bit. I mean, he wouldn't... I can remember the days we weren't allowed to mention Peter Mandelson on this programme. We can't mention anything else now.
You have to say it, otherwise the crops will fail.
The Millennium Dome is to mark its closure with an all-night rave. There will be loud...
I'll tell you what, though, actually, Simon...
Sorry to interrupt.
Go on. Shall we do a duet? And then I go and spoil it all.
These boots were made for walking. That was very good. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Linda Smith.
I still feel bitter from last New Year's Eve with the River of Water dibble. There you go. Who else was swindled with that one? Thinking, oh, that sounds brilliant, the Thames on fire. No, it was a river of water. I feel they owe us. Instead of spending this money on a party there, they should, I don't know, take us all out for curry, something. They owe us.
How hard can it be to set a river on fire, for goodness sake?
Edwina, who believes that women will have the last word?
Oh, this is another of those surveys. In fact, a very odd survey. It said that women can talk 19 to the dozen and think about three things at the same time, and you fellas can't, which you translate as us nagging. Can't figure out why on earth that should be the case.
Oh, stop it.
And it's all to, and it's all to do with the tone of voice as well. I mean, it seemed to me that women came out of it rather well, but these male researchers really didn't want to say so at all. Most unfair. Most unfair.
Yes.
It was not a survey, isn't it, to publicise a book? Isn't it one of those women are brilliant, men are crap books? And it said that women communicate in five tones, but men can only hear three.
And it's all to do with women being nurturers and stuff like that, and men being hunter-gatherers. And somewhere along the line, where the wild boar ran out, you started chasing footballs instead. I must admit, there came a point at which I didn't really follow the conclusions at all.
I'm sorry, Edwina, you were talking in one of the tones I couldn't hear then. It's a male deficiency. Alan, you probably have the same. Yeah, I thought...
No, I was just thinking about the wild boar running up. It's that moment when it does, and the man comes home with a not very wild boar, and she says, call that a wild boar, and that's where it all starts.
What am I supposed to do with this, she'll say, Alan? It's too small to bother with.
Are you fixated or what?
Yeah, why not? I mean, the tone of voice, I think...
Terrific that... microphone you got there.
The tone... You and I both got pointy ones. The poor Simon's got a sort of round, soft one. Mm. Mm.
Do you mind? My wife's in the audience. This expert also claimed that women use five different speaking tones while men use only three. They use the inquisitive tone for gathering information, the mentoring tone for giving instructions, and the irritating tone for being Prime Minister. Alan, who hopes that keeping abreast of modern design techniques will prove an uplifting experience?
This is Ove Arup, who designed the wobbly bridge, and he's now designed the wobbly tit. He's he's come up with this... I don't want to exercise Edwina's imagination anymore, but I mean... This one is about female breasts. And yes, I do have them. I don't know why gravity has taken it. This I used to have pecs, but now I've got...
Because you're the same age as Lord Home.
Slightly flaccid, yes. Same age as Lord Home, yes. How did you know that? You've done your research on me. This is terrifying. Okay. There was a television programme about design, and they came up with this. Apparently, if you have large breasts... Wired bras are extremely painful because you get these marks under them. And if you come home without them, your husband knows you've had the bra off too long in the afternoon, and this is extremely embarrassing for women. And these guys have produced, the men who actually did build the Millennium Bridge, or the contractors that did, have now designed a brazier.
All that guarantees is that they're going to wobble from side to side and make you slightly seasick if you're looking at them.
Only if people walk on them.
I'll take seasick.
A whole series of really rather luscious bra adverts were banned.
What do you mean, luscious bra adverts?
Is it really nice?
Are you telling me it's not only the Millennium Bridge that swings both ways?
Absolutely. They were really lovely. They were not intended to appeal to men. They were intended to appeal to women to buy the darn things.
Oh, right.
But
when you actually go and buy a bra, it's full of the sort of language of restraint and well, like prisons, because you get... In, say, Marks and Spencer's or somewhere, they're these little flimsy ones, and they say light control, which is like Ford Open Prison of the bra. And it goes right up to a padded bra, which is Broadmoor.
And heavy control, presumably, is Parkhurst on the Isle of Wight. You're never going to get out of it. You're stuck there forever.
And you get Jimmy Savile poking about as well. So.
Heavy control, you have to be released by Amnesty International, isn't that?
It's a new Bioform bra which uses the very latest in high technology to ensure a comfortable fit for the female of fuller figure. Designers Richard Seymour and Dick Powell took 3 years to unleash the new bra, roughly the same time as the average 17-year-old takes in the back of his dad's Fiesta. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Eastern Daily Press.
The Millennium Dome missed out after a group of Japanese tourists mistook Billy Smart Circus for the South London attraction. Travelling by bus to the Dome in Greenwich, the 5 Japanese visitors hopped off in nearby Blackheath when they saw the lights of the circus tent. The group paid admission, and it was only 2 hours later when they asked to see the body zone that circus officials realised the mistake.
Thanks to everyone who spotted that. Andy, listen to this.
And the
And you have to concentrate on the singer rather than the song there. Whose final frontier is to be auctioned off?
No, right.
Final frontier. It's frontier, not front ear.
Yes, front
ear. Stop me bothered. Linda knows.
It's
final frontier. Is it... it's a Star Trek, is
yes.
it? Oh, is it Captain Kirk?
No.
No.
Is it Leonard Nimoy?
Yes.
That's the one.
Is he recording an album of... What's it? Oh, it's him. It's his ears. It is his ears. God. I've worn myself out getting that, is it? Spock's ears are going to be up for auction, and you can buy them for a lot of money. I think they'll go, because Trekkies, you know, there'll be a lot of devotees. But you can buy the ears at auction, and you can stick them on your head and go out and chip
pretend
in.
You're Prince Charles.
That's it. It's only your Prince Charles has been stretched a bit. That's about it, really. Spock's ears.
The ears of Mr. Spock are being auctioned off in Los Angeles and will be bought by some anorak with more money than sense. Trekkies are known for their fanaticism. A group of them once spotted Spock in London and mobbed him, trying to touch him and ripping his clothes off. And it was the best night of John Redwood's life. 2 points to Andy. Edwina, why have scientists recently been having more hot dinners than most people have had hot dinners?
Well, hey.
A little vindaloo here.
Mm-hmm.
A lamb rogan josh here and all the rest of it. Apparently curry is the thing to love, to take to your heart, to make great wonders with. Hot stuff it is, and everyone thinks it's wonderful. The scientists have discovered it's good for you. Something like that.
Isn't the real story that it's addictive? And I think the curry manufacturers have kept this from us. Next thing you know, you've been mainlining vindaloo. But it is. It's because it stimulates chemicals in the brain that immediately make you want... And apparently even the thought of going for a curry makes you excited and your brain starts putting out nice chemicals. Actually, this is making me hungry.
Does it ever unsettle you, Edwina, that every night a million men come out of a pub saying I could murder a curry?
No, no. Not in the least, because there's at least another million men who say, I'd love a late-night curry, and I'm very happy with that indeed.
Yeah. This is good news for curry lovers, since it means a regular fix of spicy food can strengthen the cardiac muscles. Go to a doctor with a weak heart, and you'll come away with a good, strong ticker. Getting near the end now. Alan, the last question. Alan, which bounder flouted golf club rules in Lewisham?
I don't know what a kangaroo was doing in Lewisham. I mean, it turns out not to be a kangaroo, but if you come 13,000 miles from Sydney, or wherever they hang out, you really wouldn't want to choose Lewisham. I've been to Lewisham. I'm sorry, Lewisham, but that's the way it is. Croydon, different, but Lewisham. Stockwell, yes.
But if it wasn't a kangaroo, Alan, what was it?
Well, could it have been someone with a duffel coat on backwards? Kangaroos travel at 40 miles an hour, so perhaps they should run a shuttle service to Glasgow.
There have been reported sightings of a six-foot kangaroo at a golf club in southeast London. Golfers were amazed to see the kangaroo leaping around on grass, and even more amazed to see Anne Widdecombe chasing it to get five. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, I'm indebted to Mr. Shaw of Doncaster, and it says, Suffolk police chiefs were thrilled when their new £2 million helicopter swooped to make its first arrest following a burglary in Ipswich. But the suspects, found by thermal imaging equipment, was a man who climbed onto his roof to get a better look at the helicopter.
Linda.
This is sent in by Diane and Dave Whiting from the Derbyshire and Peak District attractions leaflet. Bakewell Old House Museum. Explore the oldest tax collector's house in the Peak District. 14 rooms of different periods, including Arkwright's millworker's cottage and a rare Tudor lavatory packed with local exhibits.
Alan.
I have a rather felicitous misprint. Simon from the Birmingham Post. It says, Roberts left his wife in 1994 and moved to Cannock, where he lived with another woman until 1995. Leaving her in 1996 to live with a woman in Walsall, whom he left a few months later for another woman in Edgbaston. He left her in 1998, and his present whereabouts are unknown.
Thanks to all of you. The score at the end of the show is Andy and Linda have 16 points, but Alan and Edwina, this week's winners, with 17 points. With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news programme, Alan Carr and Andy Hamilton, Linda Smith and Edwina Curry. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Ned Fountain and Tom Jameson. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.